So far this year, we're almost through the first month of this year, but we've begun this new year by realizing that we are living stones in Jesus, and that we are the living stones that Jesus is using to build his spiritual house today. And we've also seen over the last couple of weeks that Jesus has given each one of us, he has set before each one of us good works to do for his glory. I mean, what an honor that Jesus has set before each one of us. What an honor set before us, good works to do for him. Now, we also saw that in the book of Haggai. We saw that in that day, the days of Haggai, when those people were brought back to Jerusalem from exile, they were commissioned or they were tasked to rebuild the temple of God. And we saw when we looked at those verses that they began to do the work, but then the work ceased because the people wondered if it was yet time to do the work. And too often we think like they do. And too often we question and we ask, is it yet time to do the work that Jesus has assigned us to do? Well, this gets to the real heart of the whole point of everything I've been talking about for the last three Sundays. And today, it is time. Yes, now is the time. It is time to do the works, the good works that Jesus has uniquely designed you to do for him. And I emphasize, uniquely designed you. There are things that he has designed you to do that he hasn't designed Donna to do, he hasn't designed Al to do, he hasn't designed me to do. There's things that he has uniquely designed and set before you to do. Now is the time. And I love this verse. This is a couple of the verses that I think I've used this verse for the last three. This is the fourth Sunday in a row, but I love it. Let's get it in our minds. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 10. For we are, picture yourself, you are his workmanship. You've been created by his hand. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. You were created by the hand of God, and as a new creation, you were created in Jesus Christ for good works. You have been created by the hand of God, and by the new creation that you are in Jesus Christ, you have been designed to do good works for him, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk into them. Before you were even born, he's got good works for you and I to do today, this month, this week, this year, this season of our lives. He's got things set aside for us to do that he has already prepared and planned before you were even born. If we believe this and we know this, we understand what an honor it is that he has set these things before us. It's exciting to move into those things. It's too easy to say to ourselves, well, not me. Well, I'm not worthy. I'm not good enough. I'm not strong enough. No, before you were born, he prepared these things and designed. We just have to walk into them. We just live our lives daily for Jesus Christ, and we will walk into these things. Yes. Amen. Now, we also learned, I think it was last week we looked at this, we learned that those stones that Solomon used to build the original temple of God, those stones were measured, sized, shaped, cut, and prepared miles away from the temple at the quarry site. All that work on the stones was done at the quarry site. It wasn't done at the temple site. We, as living stones in Jesus, Jesus has already sized us and is continuing every day to size us to fit into the spiritual house that he is building. And he's sizing us and he's doing that work. He's preparing us as his living stones every day in the quarry of this life. So everything that we learn, that's why it's so important to write those things down. Everything that we learn, he is shaping us, he's sizing us to fit into that role and that work, that good work that he has created you uniquely to do yourself. We are prepared already. You have already been prepared. You have already been prepared for the good works that he has set before you to do. That's why I said last week, just relax. Don't stress over, what's the work I'm supposed to do? Just relax. Just relax. He's already prepared you and he's continuing to prepare you. Today, if I'm open, today I will see things he's doing to polish this living stone, to make me, to better prepare me for the work that he has called me to do. Now, we also read this. This is from 1 Kings chapter 6, verse number 7. It kind of speaks to what I just said. And the temple, when it was built with stone finished at the quarry, so that no hammer or chisel or any iron tool was heard in the temple while it was being built. Jesus is the one who does the shaping, the sizing. Jesus is the one who shapes us to fit into that work that he has for us. So if there are sounds of hammers and chisels at the site of this temple of the Holy Spirit, that means I'm probably trying to do his work in my strength, in my abilities, in my efforts, in my good works. And essentially, that's self-trust, and self-trust is nothing more than another form of idolatry. It's idolatry. So let's set down our tools. Set down the tools, and let's just trust him for his strength, his abilities. Let's not trust in our own. Let's trust him for his strength and his ability, because, again, that is when we're able to realize there's no pressure on us to have to try to find what's the work, what's the assignment, what am I supposed to be doing? No pressure on us. That's when we realize the pressure's not on us. If we just live our daily lives for Jesus Christ, his works will find its way to you. We just serve him. His works will find its way to you. It's no different than the example I just gave you before we started. I didn't seek that person out. That person came. Jesus brought them to me. That's just a small example. Whatever the works are that you have, just live your life for Jesus. The works will come to you. Take a breath. Relax. Enjoy each day and know if you're serving him, the works will come to you. Now, having confidence in all of those things, what I want to do today is I want to build upon that so that we see clearly that we're not just called to do works, but that we have actually already been sent to do good works. Now, in Judaism, there's a term for the person that is sent. In the Hebrew word for that is shaliach. Now, if I pronounced it correctly, it would actually have more phlegm in the back, because it really ends with like, it's like a shaliach. And I really can't say it. I spent like 10 minutes on Wednesday listening to the pronunciation over and over again and saying it out loud. And I just can't, it doesn't work really well. So for our purposes, I'm just going to say shaliach. I'm going to leave out the phlegm in the back. So shaliach means sent one. And listen to this. It means an apostle. It is speaking about a legal agent and a legal representative that a person dispatches on a mission to represent his or her interests. What does that sound like? And think about this. The shaliach carries with them the full authority of the one that sent them. Okay, that sounds like you and me today. That sounds like us in Jesus Christ. We are the ones who take the word. We take the good news, the promises and the truth of Jesus Christ, and we take it to the world, and we take it to the world in his authority. We act in his power on his behalf because he has sent us in his power, in his authority, in his name to represent him in the specific missions, the specific things he has set before you to do to glorify his name. Again, what an honor, because that's true for every single one of us who know Jesus Christ. That's true for us. And we've seen that. We know that from the Great Commission. Look, read these words with me. This is Matthew chapter 28, 18, 19, and 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." That sounds to me like the work of an apostle, doesn't it? I mean, doesn't that sound like we just, well, the definition we just saw for an apostle? That sounds like our good works. We've been commissioned and we have been dispatched. And our end goal is still the same. Our end goal is still to make disciples of the world and then to attend to the growth of those who are disciples. So, are we apostles today? In the New Testament, the word apostles was set aside specifically for those who were disciples of Jesus, those disciples of Jesus who walked with Jesus and who had a visitation from Jesus after his resurrection and before his ascension, and were specifically commissioned by Jesus to go and testify for him. Now, because of that, there are those that have said, well, there are no apostles today because there's no one living today that can meet that criteria. Just like in the days of Haggai, we're always looking for reasons to not do the work. But listen, the Bible tells us specifically, if anyone tells you that there are no apostles today, the Bible specifically tells us differently. The Bible specifically tells us. It gives us examples, and it shows us that membership for those who could and would be called disciples expanded during those early days of the church. Paul himself says that he was an exception to this because he didn't walk with Jesus. Now, he did get that visitation, but that visitation was after Jesus had ascended. So he would not qualify under the original terms of what the New Testament usage of apostle was. Paul said he was an exception. But listen to this. Here's another example. Because Paul also told us these things. Paul told us that Titus, Paul said, he clearly stated that Titus was a Greek. So in other words, Titus is not a Jew. And we see that because as Titus began to follow Paul, Titus, it's very clear, it says, he was not compelled to be circumcised. Well, that would only be the case if he was a non-Jew. So he is a Greek. And because he was a Greek, it's obvious that he did not walk with Jesus when Jesus was ministering here on this world. And he didn't get, at least the Bible doesn't tell us, and it wouldn't have been because it wouldn't too long to go through all the details, but he did not get a visitation from Jesus between the resurrection and ascension of Jesus, and he was not commissioned by Jesus specifically to go and to testify to him, and yet look what Paul says about Titus. Paul says, this is in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 23. Bear with me. Don't think I'm misreading this. If anyone inquires about Titus, now he's saying this about Titus, look, he's not just talking about Titus who he's calling an apostle, he's calling all these others an apostle as well. If anyone inquires about Titus, he's my partner and fellow worker concerning you. Or if our brethren are inquired about, they are messengers of the churches, the glory of Christ. Now, that Greek word that we read in that verse as messengers, that Greek word is the exact same Greek word that is used multiple other places in the Bible that we read as apostles. It's the same word. So Paul is saying that Titus and all these others that you're concerned about, these are, by Paul's own words, they are apostles. The definition of apostles was expanded in the days of the early church to include us. Now, yes, Paul did later say that Jesus gave some to the ministry role of apostle, and that's true, but you and I still, every one of us who serve Jesus Christ, we still act as his apostles because we have been sent in his name and in his authority for the purpose of representing him. We have been sent to represent him. It's the definition that we saw for apostles. And we know it's true because, again, look at this, just a few chapters earlier, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 20, very familiar verse. So we are Christ's ambassadors, his representatives. Ambassadors come, they go into countries that are not their home countries. They come from their home country, and they are sent by their government, by their leaders, to represent them in foreign countries. They live in those foreign countries, but they're not bound by the rules of those foreign countries. They're ambassadors. So if there's rules that are there, they're free from those rules because they're under the auspices of the country they came from. You and I, we're ambassadors in Jesus Christ. Our home is not here. Our home, we are citizens of heaven. And we have all the rights, all the power, all the authority of Jesus Christ and everything that is true in the spiritual realm. That is us, but he has sent us. We are his apostles. We are his ambassadors into this world in his power and his authority, representing him. And so we're not bound by the things of the world. So when everybody at your workplace starts to get the flu and people say, no, you're not bound by that. And so when it comes to your body, you just say, my body will not receive that. Body, don't receive that in Jesus' name. So we're just ambassadors. We're not bound by those things. So people say the days of the apostles have passed. No, the apostles were examples for you and I today. They haven't passed away. We read about the apostles and they were examples for you and I on how we're supposed to live our lives today. So let me show you another verse. And this was, I want you to remember this verse. Keep this verse in your mind even after we leave today. Because this is exactly the pinnacle of what I'm speaking about today. This is John chapter 20, verse number 21. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. Because Jesus fulfilled the work that his Father sent him to do, and Jesus fulfilled that work in this body, in this flesh, as a man, so now you and I can fulfill the work that Jesus has sent us to do. The specific assignments he has given us. We can do those things and accomplish those things in this flesh because he did. We can. And so those assignments that have been in front of you that you've kind of, because I just don't think I can, that's an awful, I don't think I can do that. No, you have already, because Jesus did it in this flesh as a man, so can you and I. Because he did. And he is the great apostle. That's what Hebrews says. Jesus is the great apostle. Let me share these verses with you. You'll notice I'm backing all these things up by the Word of God so that you can go back and see these things and read these things for yourself and see the truth of each of these things for your life. You can grab hold of it. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. This is in the Amplified. So then, brethren, consecrated and set apart for God, who share in the heavenly calling, thoughtfully and attentively consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest, whom we confessed as ours when we embraced the Christian faith. See how faithful he was to him who appointed him apostle and high priest, as Moses also was also faithful in the whole house of God. So we are told to consider Jesus the great apostle. We're told to consider Jesus. What does it mean to consider? Consider means to think on. It means to study. It means to meditate on. It means to examine. So, what exactly are we supposed to be thinking on and meditating on? Meditate on this. Pause. Just think about this. We have received Jesus' calling. We've received his calling. We have Jesus' calling entrusted to us today. What Jesus was called to do when the Father sent him, we have been called to do. As he was sent by the Father, he also now sends us. We who are his shaliach. As he was sent, empowered by the Holy Spirit, when he was sent, we are also empowered by the Holy Spirit as we walk in his calling in our lives today. You know, Jeff was talking about Psalms, the book of Psalms. You know those times in the Psalms where, I always get this wrong, is it Selah? Is that how you say it? Is it Selah? Nobody else knows? What is it? Selah? So, I mean, basically what that means is pause and think about that. This is a good time to just pause and think about that. The call you have received, the calling of Jesus Christ, it has been entrusted to you. Because as the Father sent Jesus, He also sends you. I mean, think about what that means. What is it that you cannot do in Jesus? What has He set before you that you cannot do? Listen, that's exciting because those things that I kind of don't want to look at because I think it's too overwhelming, now I know not only can I do those things, it's already done. I just have to walk into it. That is exciting. So, as we think about those things, then the question becomes, do each one of us, do we have work to do? Is there a calling and work that we have to do in this life? Yes. Yes. What Jesus was called to do, you have now been called to do as an apostle of the great apostle. What He was called to do, you've been called to do because you're an apostle of the great apostle. Now, in our culture today, there's a lot of believers who experience a kind of identity crisis. It's a spiritual identity crisis because we kind of sometimes feel spiritually weak. And sometimes we feel like we're spiritually inferior. Let's just be honest. And when we see somebody else fulfilling their ministry and being used in powerful ways, sometimes it kind of makes us feel inferior. And we kind of wish that we were more like them. It's a spiritual identity crisis. But let me go back, because this is what I was referring to earlier. If you guys remember, I think it was maybe the week before Christmas, I don't know, sometime in the month of December, I was asking the Lord, and I was seeking and saying, is there something that you want? Is there a specific thing that you want me to share that would just come back as something to share throughout the year? And I had asked Him that, and I mean, I'd ask Him a few days, and I don't worry about those things. I ask, and He shows me. So I've told you guys before that for me, I don't know what it's like for you, but for me, one of the times that I really hear Him clearly and see visions is in that twilight time, if you will. It's almost always, sometimes it's just as I go to sleep, but usually it's in the morning just before I wake up. It's in that twilight. You're still asleep, but you're right there on the edge of consciousness. And He spoke to me someday in December, and when I say spoke, this is what I saw. It was this simple. I heard Him say these words, and as I heard Him speak the words, I also saw the words. It was like text. The words were in white, and it was on a red background. And the words were, as do you. And I thought, huh, what does that mean, as do you? And so I fell back asleep, and I got the exact same thing again. And I asked Him, Holy Spirit, what does that mean? Listen, it was simply a reminder that the promises of Jesus Christ that we see lived out in others, those are our promises as well. So when you see someone else and you see them living out the Word of God, when we see those things, those are our promises as well. When you see someone operating in the power of Jesus Christ and being used powerfully, don't be jealous and don't be envious. Instead, praise the name of Jesus for that person. Thank Jesus on behalf of that person because Jesus is being glorified. But then hear Him say to you the words that I heard Him say, as do you. Yes, they have that. They have all of that, as do you. You have those exact same things. So don't worry about what anybody else is doing. Just commit to do the work that is set before you to do what He has sent you to do. And again, don't sweat over it. Don't put pressure on yourself. Don't worry over it. Just live for Him daily, and the work is going to come to you. Don't worry about what anyone else is doing. Just make the commitment to do what He has sent you to do. Just do what He has sent you to do and then expect to be used. Because Jesus will move through every single person who is willing to be used for His glory. Even when we feel unqualified, even when we feel like we are just babies in the work that we're supposed to be doing. So even those times when we say to ourselves, I should be further along in this than I am right now, Don't worry about it. Because, listen to this. This is Psalm 8, verse number 2. I just want to highlight the first part of this. Out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength. Some of God's greatest work, some of the times that the glory of Jesus Christ is most revealed, is in the weak. It's in those unlikely vessels and instruments. Jesus has established in you, in each one of us, Jesus has established a strength that you don't realize. So that power of Jesus Christ that you see at work in others, yes, they have it. As do you. You have the same things. We just have to move forward. Even if we feel like we're babes, even if we feel like we're just inexperienced, Jesus, this task, I don't know how to do it. I'm a baby at this. Don't worry about it. You know, about a year before my father passed away, he and I were sitting together in his living room, and we were looking at this book of our family's history. It was a chronicle of our family's history. And I was amazed because I saw every single person who lived before me for the previous 250 years. From 1754, I think it was. From 1754 until my era, my name was in this book, as were my siblings. Every single person who in my family came before me, they're all there. It was 75 pages. And it was the names, the birth dates, and the death dates of every single person. It was amazing to see all that. And it was so amazing, I actually spent a lot of time looking at all those names. I didn't go through all 75 pages, but I looked at all those names. And here's one of the things that struck me. Even those who died in infancy, and even those who died as babies, even on the day of their birth, their names were still chronicled in that family history. Why? Because they are part of the family Hochstetler. It has that same phlegm. If you go back to the original, I still can't do it, but it's Hochstetler. And they were part of that family. So even when you feel like you're just a babe in the work that is set before you to do, don't be intimidated by that. Don't worry about it. Because even if you're a babe, you remember you are still a part of the family of God, and as such, you carry the power of the family name, Jesus. So you have the power to do all the work that is set before you to do. There's another place where we see that Jesus sent off his disciples, and that comes in Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. And stay there because we're going to go back a few verses before that in a minute. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and in Samaria and to the end of the earth." When the power of the Holy Spirit came, Jesus was sending out his disciples in his name, in his authority, in his power to represent him. They were his shaliach. Their mission was to be his witness in ever-expanding concentric circles. They were to start in Jerusalem and Judea, and they were continued to do the work in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And the amazing thing is, if you read through the book of Acts, you can just take it in sections, and they did just exactly that. We are the ones that are sent today. And since we're the ones who are sent today, it's really important for us to understand what immediately preceded these words that Jesus said. In other words, what prompted Jesus to say these words? So look at verses 6 and 7 of Acts chapter 1. "Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?' And he said to them, 'It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority.'" And I think if you, let me read that again. So, if you go on, you'll also see that what he's saying is that this is not their concern. They're asking, the disciples are asking Jesus, "Is this the time that you are going to restore your kingdom? Are you going to restore your kingdom at this moment, Jesus?" Because they wanted the kingdom of Jesus now. Because that meant the Romans were gone. no longer harassing them. It means that they're at peace, and it means they have no work to do. But Jesus is saying to them, basically he's saying, your concern is not that. You're not to be concerned about those things. Your concern is to do the work that I sent you to do. See, very often we get caught in that same kind of mindset where we say to ourselves, Jesus is returning at any moment. And so we may not say it out loud, but then what takes place in the back of our minds is we say to ourselves, well, he's coming at any moment, so we take our foot off the gas. And we are no longer advancing the kingdom like we're supposed to do, because somewhere back in here we're saying, Jesus is coming at any moment, don't worry about the works, let's just wait for Jesus to come. But the thing that Jesus said to his disciples is still true for you and I today. Our concern is to do the work that he has set before us to do. We have been commissioned, we've been dispatched, we've been empowered by the Holy Spirit. We are his apostles. We are his apostles. So expect that as you do the work that is set before you to do, just like the apostles, you're going to experience and you're going to see increasing results from those concentric circles of your influence expanding. Because Jesus knows, I can trust you to do the work that I've set you to do. We walk in Jesus' calling today. We walk in his calling. What Jesus was called to do, we are now called to do as apostles of the great apostle. That's exciting. So remember what the prophet Isaiah said. Remember he said, here I am. Send me. I want you to see that from the expanded Bible, because I love what the expanded Bible adds to that. This is Isaiah 6:8. Then I heard the Lord's voice saying, whom can will I send to speak for God to Israel? Who will go for us, referring to God and his heavenly court, or possibly the Trinity? So I said, here I am, send me. So Isaiah was sent, as you and I are sent. But here's the thing I love about that. God did send one of the Trinity. He sent his son, Jesus. And Jesus did the work that he was supposed to do. And then Jesus said, as my Father has sent me, I also send you. Be excited about the work that he has set before you to do. Commit to do the work that he has set before you to do. Don't be stressed about it. Be excited. Because if we just live our lives daily for Jesus, the work, his work will find its way to us. Do the work that he has set before you to do. Because you're an apostle of the great apostle. This is what we should have on our minds as we proceed into 2019. Amen? Jesus, I thank you and I praise you that you are the great apostle, and you came and you did the work. As the Father sent you, you completed the work. And so now because of your completed work and because of your power and your authority, you have now sent us off as your apostles. And so we go into today and into this week and into our lives excited for the work you've set before us to do. What you were called to do, we now are called to do. And we do it in your power, in your authority, and in your victory. We do it as your apostles. We praise you and thank you for it. You be glorified in the great things as well as the small things, because even those small things matter much to you and your plan. So we thank you and praise you for seeing how you can use us, for preparing us every day in the quarry of life. We thank you that you are preparing us and sizing us, perfecting us for that perfect place that you have for us to serve you. We thank you. In your name, Jesus. Amen.